morning, everybody. Let's go ahead and get started. So if you would please join me and stand. Grab your hymnal. Turn to page number 10 this morning. Page number 10, Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus Saves. Jesus Saves. Page number 10. On the first, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus Saves. Jesus Saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus Saves. Jesus Saves. Bear the news. Carl McMahon, would you open us up in prayer? Amen. Please remain standing and look over on the next page. Page 11, Love Lifted Me. On the first,
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, no safe am I. Saves. He will lift you by his love.
Seated.
You know that song that we just, Brother Charles led us in, Love Lifted Me, says in one of those stanzas there, I believe it may be the second one, Jesus completely saves. I like that stanza because that's what he does. He completely saves. He doesn't save just part of you, saves all of you, mind, body, and soul, saves the whole bunch. And I like that about the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't give us salvation on the coupon plan. It's all at once. Amen? All at once. Well, it's good to see you here this morning. Good to have you in church. And I was last week was away, and we went to Cornerstone Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona, pastored by Brother Terry Randolph, who's preached here many times. And we had a good time down there. It was good to be there. It was a little bit on the warm side. You get up in the morning, and as I said before, it was 100 degrees in the morning, and I golfed one day there, and by the time I finished the 18th hole, it was 109, and I was really dragging the last three holes. But we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of time. We did some painting and got some things done out of the way, and Rhonda and her daughter came over to visit us. I was in the back room painting, and the phone rang, and I picked the phone up, and it was our daughter, Rhonda, who lives in Dallas area there, and I said, oh, Rhonda, I says, I'll call you back. Somebody's at the door. And I went to the front door, and it was Rhonda standing there. It was a real shock to us. But it was nice to have her and Gabby there, and we just had a good time together. But good to be back. Good to be back where we got grass. You know, I never love my lawn so much as when we come back here and see actual grass instead of, we have a lawn down there, but it's rocks, just rocks. And they're different colors. They have, some are gray, you know, and then it makes a little pattern there and a little, maybe little bricks. And these are kind of reddish, and over here they're kind of yellow, and they did different. It's, but they're rocks, just plain old-fashioned rocks. And you can't beautify rocks no matter what you do. But it's good to be back in Montana. Good to be back here and to see the sun out and the grass green. And we've had so much moisture, it's just wonderful to see everything so green around here. Now, also, all of the flowers are from the memorial service for Tom Monstott yesterday. And, of course, you know that we've been praying for him for a long time. Tom accepted Christ as a Savior last year, but he's had cancer since 2010, and it finally caught up with him this past week. And so Tom is the recipient of God's love. He's in heaven right now. He's in heaven with the Lord. He used to sit right back there, maybe back about where Emily's sitting, just maybe a row behind you. And he sat and listened to many messages, and he was a great man, and we loved him dearly. Had a tremendous turnout for his funeral yesterday. Even some friends flew in for his funeral. He was almost 76. He'd have been 76 the end of this month. And that says a lot about a man when people will fly in for his memorial. But the place was packed yesterday, and the church, as I said before, I thank you once again publicly for all the work you did to make it a good memorial service, and it was a great testimony to you as a people of the church and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you pitched in, and you did such a wonderful job, the singing, the every aspect of the service. And over in the other building afterwards, the reception, it was just greatly appreciated by the family. And we just thank you so much for it. But anyway, it's good to have you here this morning. As far as the bulletin, you didn't have a bulletin last week, did you? I did that on purpose so that you would miss me. But here's the bulletin this morning. It says in there about junior camp coming up, and I put an advertisement in there for if you'd like to help a little child go to camp. You can put all of it in an envelope and designate it junior camp or a portion of it or whatever you want to do. It's nice to help a child go to camp. We always have a great camp, and we're looking forward to junior camp in August this year. And so if you'd like to help a little child go to camp, and by the way, a Bible camp has the ability to change a little guy's life, a little guy's life. And there's so many young people that just can't afford to go, and you've been blessed so much in the Lord. It's nice to be able to be a blessing to someone else. And then, of course, the ladies sign up. Sheet is back there. Only one person signed up so far, and that's my wife, and I don't know if she's going by herself. No one of the ladies have signed up, so it's back there, and she wants you to please sign up so that they can begin to get a number of how many people are going to attend from this church and some other churches. And so we need to have you do that as soon as you can. And then there's a welcome in there to the Stamper family sitting on this row right here that was the front row until Chris sat down. And now Chris is in the front row. But that whole row is a Stamper family. Isn't that something, a whole row of people? And this whole row over here is the Krug family. My goodness, isn't that something? And almost that whole row, well, matter of fact, that whole row in the back is the Munson family. That's really something, isn't that? It's amazing. Big families. Where's the Discusoff family? Where's all the little guys? Over there. Well, if they were here, that'd be a whole road pretty near too, wouldn't it? And it's so good to have Rodney and Marilyn back. I heard you were here last week, and just good to see you. And Rodney was a faithful member in Maryland of this church and run the bus ministry for years in Liberty Baptist Church. And we miss Rodney. Of all the people who have ever left, I really miss Rodney. He is such a blessing, such a good friend, and he was such a faithful man of the church. Never, hardly ever missed prayer meeting, and was visitation, and just so many good things. And I miss you, Rodney, and glad you're visiting today. Good to have you here. And Marilyn also. I know, Marilyn, you brought him, and it's good to have you here. Next Sunday, Matt Moeller. Now, we've never met Brother Matt. He is the son of Rick, who is our missionary. We've had Brother Rick as a missionary for years. Him and his wife, Sherry, they were in South Africa for years until he got bit by a bug there, I mean a literal bug, and he had to leave, had to go to their colder climate, went to Scotland, and he's opened an old church there that's over 100 years old and doing a good job there, and his boy is going to go over and help him. And so he's going to be preaching for us next Sunday, Sunday school and Sunday morning. So if some of you Sunday school kids or something you want to come over here for Sunday school, that's up to you, but that's open. And but he'll be preaching in the morning service and doing the Sunday school. And then the following Sunday, I'll be preaching, but the following Sunday, Bob and Annette Wills will be back with us. They're out of Fort Worth, Texas, the famous Wills family. Bob Wills' family is an old family. It goes back to 1938. Now, this is one of the sons of the sons. And he's been here a number of times, he and his wife, singing. And they'll be a blessing to us. But they're only here in the morning. And they're going to get in their vehicle and drive over to Coeur d'Alene and preach in Foundation Baptist Church for Brother Bobby Stansfield. So they will be here next, or two Sundays away. Amen. Good to have you all here. Y'all, you look so fine. You know, you just look good. You have a good breakfast and everything. Did you have a good night's sleep? You didn't have, well, you didn't, how come? Well, that's what brothers are for. Fight with. Okay, Lord bless you. Oh, I'm sorry. Amen. Yeah, Tyler's a good boy. And by the way, we did pass out a card on both sides of the auditorium during Sunday school. What happened to those cards? All right, well, maybe somebody like to sign them some more that weren't in Sunday school. We're going to send those. Katie came up with this. Katie And they're going to be sent down to her brother-in-law, who's going to be his trainer in the army down in Texas when he gets there. Those cards will be for him when he gets there. That'd be great. How many soldiers get to their next post and they already got mail? And so that'll be, so you could maybe sign that a little bit and we'll mail those off.
All right, if you stand once more and grab a hymnal, turn to page number 32, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Page number 32 in your hymnal. And on the first.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
All right, we'll sing that second verse, and once you reach the chorus, greet your neighbor with a handshake. On the second.
On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Find your place. Join me in the last verse of page 32, when the roll is called up yonder on the last.
Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen. Brother Steve Usby, would you ask a blessing on our offering?
Thank you for it, Lord, and ask you to make it go far.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to ask you to stand in respect to the Word of God as I read the text this morning. In Acts chapter number 16, verse number 14 and verse number 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Father, as we come to you this morning, I ask your blessings on the Word of God as we preach this morning. I thank you so much for the attendance. I thank you so much for America and this church and this country and this state. And I thank you so much for the weather and just all the blessings you bestowed upon us. But now as we gather together for the preached word, I just pray that we'd set aside all the other blessings and temporal blessings that we've received and just focus spiritually from our hearts on the Word of God. I pray, Lord, the Word of God would open our hearts and minds this morning. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that's not saved, does not know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when they die, they will go to heaven, I pray today that they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. If there's any other need that needs to be made, any decision, someone needs to be baptized and unite with the church, or there's any other situation that needs to be taken care of, I pray this morning you'd meet that need in that person's life. I ask your blessings now on the Bible, the Word of God as we preach, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. In Acts chapter 16, we have a story of a woman who comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. I think this is an outstanding story, even though it's very briefly given. It's only found in this passage in two verses, which talk about the Lady of Thyatira. But I think it's an outstanding passage because of what it shows us. It's going to teach us this morning, along with some companion verses that I have in the Bible, that a person can be very close to God and miss heaven. Very close to the Lord and miss heaven. The reason I think this is very important is because many of us were like that at one time before we got saved. Many of us were not heathens. We were not out there in the world. We were not drug addicts or drunks or whatever. We were not murderers. We were not involved in a lot of vice. And maybe we even went to church. Maybe we were even a good member of a church. But we weren't saved. And then Jesus Christ came along and opened our hearts and saved our souls. And our life began to become different. We became a new creature in Christ. But there are many people even today in Helena, Montana, and maybe right here in this room that are very close to God, but will miss heaven when they die. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Mark, chapter 12. Acts 16 with one hand and just go back to Luke chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter number 12, look with me here in verse 28. In Mark chapter number 12 and verse 28, the Bible says, And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him in verse 29, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw, in verse 34, that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, now watch it, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. So here we have two people. We have a scribe, and we have a seller of purple from Thyatira. Both of these people have an understanding of God, and this woman even worships God. But they're not saved. The one man, the scribe, is not far from the kingdom of God. And this woman of Thyatira doesn't know the Lord until God begins to work a miracle in her life. And let me qualify that by saying this, that salvation is a miracle. There's so many of us that want to see a real, tangible, physical miracle. We want to see, in Jesus' name, piano rise. And we'd like to see that piano rise. If I could say that and that piano would go up to the ceiling, we'd have a big church. You couldn't get everybody's building next Sunday, could you? That's the way we are as people. We want to see something tangible. But the greatest miracle in life is God condescending to sinners as us, as we, and saving our wicked souls. That's a great miracle. And changing a sinner into a saint. Only God can do that. That's the greatest of all miracles. That's the miracle that I'd like to see this morning. I'd like to see somebody get saved today. I'd like to see God work a miracle in somebody's life this morning to save their soul. I'd like to see that. I think you'd like to see it. I think everybody. Matter of fact, the Bible says that all the angels of heaven stand up and shout and praise God when one sinner repents and comes to Christ. And so all the angels would like to see that this morning. Pastor Rick would like to see that this morning. And all of you that are saved would like to see somebody get saved this morning. And those of you that are not saved today, you have an open invitation during the end of this service to come forward and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Nobody embarrass you. We'll not call you out. We'll not embarrass you. But coming forward and trusting Christ is a mark. It has a tremendous meaning in your heart and life. Trusting Jesus and walking out of this building different than when you came in. And so we have the lady of Thyatira and the man over there, the scribe in Mark chapter 12, who are very close to the Lord but just do not know the Lord. And there may be people even here this morning, and I know in Helena, Montana, that are very close to God but yet have not arrived. And so my introduction says this. Many people today have religion without salvation. Many are affiliated with certain denominations, but they need Jesus. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, and I want you to turn there for a moment, hold Acts 16, and turn to Matthew chapter number 7. And I need to read this in my introduction because it's so, so important to the entire message. In Matthew chapter 7, down here in verse number 21, Jesus makes a great statement, a very, very great statement for our reading and listening and understanding in relationship to this message. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wouldn't that be an awful thing to have religion, to go to church, to prophesy or preach or declare in Jesus' name, to cast out devils, and to do many wonderful works or things in your life, and at the judgment bar have Jesus say unto you, depart from me, for I never knew you? Are you sure you're saved? Do you know that on judgment day that that would never be said to you? Depart from me. You see, once that is said, once that statement is made, there's no turning back. Once that statement is made, that declaration by the Son of God, who has the keys to heaven, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who is the only sacrifice, the only God that ever died for a people because he loves those people, to say that unto you or me or any of us, would result in the lake of fire. And there's no coming back from the lake of fire. It's an eternal death. There's no reprieve, there's no pardon, there's no salvation. You see, all salvation and all pardoning takes place right here. Oh, not necessarily in this building, but in this life. All decisions for God got to be made now. Not made later on, but now. And of course, we're of that bent where we like to put things off. I'm like that. I am very, very... I'm a procrastinator. I bought a book, I told you. I bought a book on procrastination 10 years ago. I haven't read it yet. Honest, I haven't read it. I'm a great procrastinator. I've always been that way. You see, some things in your life don't change the day you get saved. I've always been that way. But I'll tell you something. When it comes to what I'm talking about this morning, you can't procrastinate on this thing. You can't put this off. Because as we had a memorial service for one of our brothers yesterday in the church, we're all going to meet that mark one day. We're all going to pass away. And I don't know when, and God doesn't know when, and you don't know, or God knows, but you don't know when. It could be this afternoon. You could lay down for a nap and never wake up. You could die tonight. You could be hit by a truck on the way home from church. You don't know. We don't know when our final day is. These little guys don't know when they're... Oh, you say, well, they're just young kids. Young kids die too, folks. No, we never know. Just the other day, I was in church here, and I heard a commotion out in the parking lot, and I went out there, and my goodness, there was just a whole bunch of folks out there and putting on their diving suits, and I said to one of the men, I said, what's going on? And he said, well, I can't say. You have to ask... the man over there, and I went over there, and he said, well, we have a deceased in the canal. And I said, oh, okay, you know. And I left. I was going on my way home. And then I read the paper the next day, and a 65-year-old lady had gone out for a walk at 10 o'clock at night and fell into the canal 10 miles upstream. And she floated all the way through the valley right over to here. And that's where they pulled her out. You don't know when you're going to go. I mean, you can go for a summer walk, never come back. You don't know when life's going to call your number. And therefore, this is something you can't just put off. You can't just say, well, I got lots of time. Doesn't the Bible say in the book of James, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou know not what a day may bring forth? Does not the Bible say, what is your life but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away? Doesn't the Bible say those things? Well, is the Bible a false book? Or is it a true book? Is it right? I mean, most of you that are in this room today that are older than maybe these little guys, you've experienced death in the life of one of your friends or a relative or a co-worker. You know what death is. But somehow we conjure up this belief in our hearts that that's not going to happen to us just yet. And if we've never trusted the Lord, we're gambling. We are gambling that we are going to have enough time to trust Christ as our Savior. Man, that's a bad gamble. You're going to lose every time. Because you see, God is not like a box of soap, a box of detergent, that you can just pick up any time and utilize it when you want. No, that's not the way God operates. When God speaks to your heart, that's the time to make a move. When God opens your heart, that's the time to make the move. Not when you feel like it. Not when everything is, all your ducks are in a row. Not when all your bills are paid and all your life's expectancies are all fulfilled. No. That's not the way this thing works. We're dealing with God. We're not dealing with a preacher. We're not dealing with a church. We're not dealing with a denomination. We're not dealing with anything physical. We're dealing with God. And you just don't turn God on and off. You don't just say, well, God, you have to line up with my time schedule. That's not the way you deal with God. Man, you know, it's a miracle that God doesn't just look at us someday and say, well, you know, fella, you're on my time schedule and you're done. I just turn you off. I wonder if God has ever done that with anybody. No, I'll tell you something. You got to be very careful with dealing with God because He's God. He holds our life in His hands. He put all this thing together by the spoken word, and He can speak it out of existence if He chooses. But His great love that He has for us caused Him to send His Son to die for us, to give us everlasting life. So here we find a woman, the lady of Thyatira, Lydia by name, seller of purple, a very high-priced commodity. And the apostles come to her area here. And when they come to the area here, they come down to the riverside to pray. Notice verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. Now, by the way, it says we. You know, the writer of the book of Acts is Philophysis. What is his name? Rodney, you know his name. I can't. Theophysis. So I always mix that up. But he's the Luke is the writer of this. And he's writing this book, and he puts himself in there and says, we went to the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down. And so they go to the riverside, they sit down, and they notice a woman there. And verse 14 says that woman is Lydia of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. And notice this, the Lord opened her heart. You see, unless the Lord does that, nothing will happen. That's why I say you can't put God on your schedule. Can't put God on your timetable. Because God's got to open your heart. And the way God opens a heart is basically through the preaching of the Word of God. and the teachings of the Word of God. The witnessing of a saint to a sinner. God takes the Bible and uses the Bible to open the heart, to give sight to the blind, to give hearing to the deaf, to give strength to the lame limb. That's what God does. He uses the preaching, and the world calls it foolishness. World laughs at preaching, says it's a waste of time, it doesn't work anymore in the 21st century. But I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God says it ever needs to be updated. It needs to be rectified. It needs to be new. No, it's always the same, the preaching of the Word of God. And God uses it to open a heart. And when God opens the heart of this woman, the Bible says she attends unto the things spoken of Paul. When God opened her heart, she began to listen. She began to listen to the Word of God. And the Bible says, as we read on, that eventually Paul baptizes her and her household. And this woman becomes a member of the church. This woman becomes a saint of God, a member of the Church of Christ. And this woman becomes a saint. And this woman becomes someone who loves the Lord, that she opens her house unto the apostles. This woman's life changed. And yet, in the very beginning, she was a worshiper of God. And so, once again, the title of my message this morning is How Close Someone Can Come to God and Still Be Lost. A worshiper of God, verse 14. She was a worshiping religionist. Someone who had a place for God. Someone who went to the temple or the place of worship and worshiped God and prayed. And she was a woman along these lines, a religionist, a good person probably. But she was a person that did not understand much about the promised Messiah. It's almost like the man that went down to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost to worship was in his chariot going back to Africa, North Africa, very wealthy man, reading from the book of Isaiah and having no idea what he was reading. Knew it was the Bible, but didn't understand it. And God sent Philip to his chariot to explain to him the Bible. And the man said to Philip, "How can I understand unless some man come up and show me and teach me?" And when Philip went and taught him the Word of God, he exemplified unto him who Jesus was. You see, a lot of people who are religionists worship, but they don't understand what they worship. They don't understand the ramifications of Christ. They don't understand the Messiah. They don't understand who He is unless someone explains it, either preaches or teaches it. And the man in the chariot's understanding was open, and he trusted Christ. He accepted Christ. Here we have a religionist who prays, worships God, but doesn't totally understand. But you know what's significant right here? Even though she doesn't understand, she has a desire to listen. And that's all it took, was that small desire to listen. And God opened her heart. I don't know how many times I've seen that happen in people's lives. I mean, I've dealt with people, and you probably have dealt with people also, that you try to explain the Word of God to them, and they will say, "Well, you know, some other time." It's like in the book of Acts, "When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." A lot of people, you know, "It's just not convenient right now. I don't have the time." Well, this woman here had the time. God opened her heart, and she was ready to listen. God knew that. God opened her heart, and she attended unto the things that Paul had to say. And then when Paul baptizes her and her family later on, that implies that she trusted Christ as her Savior. Paul would have never baptized this woman and her household, had they not trusted Christ as their Savior? It's just like the Philippian jailer. Same thing. They were all baptized after they received Christ as their Savior. That's the way it works in the Bible. And so you can be very religious, and you can worship, but not understanding what you're worshiping, and be close to God and miss heaven. Verse number 31 says this, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." That was the lesson later on that Paul, the same man talking to Lydia, said to the Philippian jailer. Paul's message never changed. Now, it's not given in relationship to Lydia, but it's implied that it was the same message that he gave to Lydia. Paul doesn't change his message, but the Bible doesn't write the details of every sermon in every verse, or you couldn't carry the Bible in a bushel basket. No, that's the same message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's something that Lydia of Thyatira never did. She believed in God. She trusted God as far as her understanding would take her, but it won't take her to heaven. A lot of people can have book learning. A lot of people can have religious learning and dogma and all of those catechisms and all those things that go along with church, but miss heaven. Happens all the time. Well, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you believe about Christ? You got to believe that he died, buried, and rose again. That is the gospel. That's the whole ball of wax right there. Believe that he died for you. Why? You're a sinner. He loves you. He took your place. He took your death. He took your hell. Died in your place as your substitute. They buried him. Praise God, 72 hours he broke death and rose from the grave. Never to die again, building mansions for you in heaven, waiting for the day when you two meet face to face. I'll tell you something. That's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says right here in verse 31, and when you believe that, Paul says, thou shalt be saved. He doesn't add anything to that. He doesn't put his own personal agenda in there. He doesn't put his own personal beliefs or philosophies. He just says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the same thing he said back in Romans chapter 10. Same exact thing. Same message. Why should we believe the message that the Lydia of Thyatira would ever be any different? No, it's not any different. So here's a woman like the scribe over there in Mark chapter 12. Very close to heaven, has a smattering of understanding of the Bible, but not far from the kingdom. You see, the way you get into the kingdom is to be born again. John chapter 3 talks all about that. Jesus says in verse 7 of John chapter 3, you must be born again. You know, that little statement, ye must be born again, is an emphatic statement. If I was to scream right now, John 3:17, that would not do it justice. It's an emphatic message, an emphatic lesson, an emphatic verse. Ye must be born again. Jesus said that. Are you qualified to change that? Has God given you permission to change that? Has God said to you, well, that's not for everybody. You're different. Oh, you're different. No, no. By the way, ye, Y-E, is plural. It means everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So love the world. That's everybody. That's me, you, everybody. We're all sinners and short of the glory of God. Christ died for us all. We're all called upon to trust him as our Savior. There's no difference between a black and a white. There's no difference between the rich and the poor. There's no difference between the educated and the uneducated. There's no difference between age. We're called upon by God to trust His Son. There's no exception to the rule. There's no one of us that's exempt from that command. Yet there are a lot of religionists, a lot of people out here in the world today that have a smattering of understanding and go to church and do all these wonderful things for the Lord. I never knew you. Man alive. I tell you, that would keep me awake if I wasn't saved. I went to church one time and I got saved that day. I hadn't gone to church for times and times and times and heard message after message. I just heard one. Got saved that day. I wonder what my life would have been like if I'd ever heard that message. Depart from me. What an awful thing to have the Son of God say. When my Bible says He loves me. Well, He does love me. But He demands that I be born again. Because He can't fellowship with me. Because He and I are not on the same basis. We're not in the same plane. We're not on the same level. We do not have the same nature. He's holy and I'm unholy. The only way I become holy is trust His Son, and His Son's holiness is put into my checking account. That's what the word impute means. He imputes His righteousness, His holiness, into my account. And when God looks down at Rick, He doesn't see Rick because he's an unholy man. He sees Rick covered with the righteousness of Christ. That's why Rick goes to heaven when he dies. That's why any man goes to heaven when he dies. That's why any woman goes to heaven when she dies. That's why anyone goes to heaven when they die if they've trusted Christ. So don't be like the lady of Thyatira. And if you are like that, come out of that. Rise up and walk. Come out of that today. You say, well, I'd be embarrassed. Hey, listen, I'd be embarrassed to hear a message of salvation, die, and split hell wide open. I'd be embarrassed for eternity and always remember the day that I could have been saved. Maybe that's what makes hell hell. Because you will always remember the opportunity that you threw away to come to Jesus. Depart from me, for I never knew you. He doesn't say, I knew you, but you blew it. He says, I never knew you. And isn't that a powerful message and a powerful verse? Are you saved today? Do you know you'd go to heaven when you die? I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Then I'm going to ask all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Just be polite just for a moment. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you this question. You may have never been asked it before. If you died today, do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would rise to be with the Lord in heaven? Because you can look back to a time in your life where sincerity and faith from your heart trusted Jesus to forgive you and to save you. Can you look back to that time where you trusted Christ? Would you raise your hand just for a moment? Be honest with the Lord. Please be honest. Amen. You may put them down. For those of you that are here, and the Lord spoke to you and let you know, you just out of honesty and sincerity just couldn't raise your hand. I just want to ask you this question. If the Lord has opened your heart this morning and He's beginning to convict you that you need to be saved, I want to pray for you in a moment. I want to pray, and I'll not call you out. I'll not call your name. I'll not come back and get you. I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to touch your heart again that you might trust Christ this morning. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor Rick, would you pray for me? God has opened my heart. God's touched my heart. I know now that I need to be saved. Thank you. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Amen. You may put it down. Anyone else this morning? God's spoken to my heart. God's opened my heart that I need to be saved. And I'm willing to be saved. I'm ready to trust Christ if he's ready to receive me. God has never turned anyone away. He's never turned anyone away that was serious and sincere with him. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these hands this morning. I would ask you now, Lord, to work in the lives of these that raise their hands. And Father, I pray that they might step out and come this morning and say, Pastor Rick, I'd like to trust Christ as my Savior. I don't ever want to hear the words from Jesus, depart from me. I don't ever want to hear that. I'd rather hear Jesus say, come into thy rest, thy good and faithful servant. I'd rather hear the Lord say that. And I can only hear the Lord say that if I'm willing to step out and trust Christ as my Savior. Please, Lord, draw them to the cross this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song in our hymnal. 375. And as we sing that song this morning, would you be willing to step out and come and trust Christ as your Savior? Please don't be embarrassed. The most important thing you'll ever do in your life is receive Christ as your Savior. And I'll meet you halfway. I'll come right down here this morning and meet you halfway if you'll come. Trust Christ. Would you step out as we sing, Brother Charles? Would you come this morning, trust Christ? Let me show you in the Bible how to be saved. He invites you to come. Don't say no to God. Don't say no to He who hung on the cross for you. I'll meet you halfway if you'll come. God impressed you to raise your hand, then God knows you're not saved, and He's willing to save you this morning, but you need to step out and come. Maybe somebody will come with you. I come just as you are. He'll receive you just as you are. You're here this morning and you'd like to be baptized and unite with this church. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. The Lord has impressed upon your heart the need to follow Him in baptism, unite with the church. You're here this morning. I'm going to ask you just to step out and come also. We'll introduce you to the church and let the church vote on your admission into this congregation. Anybody like that this morning would step out and come? We don't need the piano right now. You can come, Angie. I'm going to present these three young ladies. Of course, you know Angie, our piano player. She's received Christ as her Savior, and she'd like to be baptized tonight with the church. And her sister over here, this is her older sister, Emily. Likewise with Emily, she'd like to follow the Lord in baptism. We went over these things in my office this morning. And this is Rebecca Stamper, and she also has received Christ as her Savior, and she'd like to follow the Lord in baptism and unite with the church. And so what we're going to do is have the baptism next Sunday, and I want to ask you as a congregation to vote on their admission into this church as full-fledged members by the uplifted right hand. Amen. Anybody be opposed to that? All right. Now, this is the way out of church. You come by here and shake their hands and welcome them into the congregation upon their baptism next Sunday. But you come this morning, okay? Could you do that? Let's pray. Rodney Schultz, would you close our service in prayer today?
Those that are here, Lord, that